Brothers and sisters, open your Bibles with me, please, to the Gospel of Matthew. And I want to speak from Matthew, the 20th chapter. My emphasis is going to be on verse 6, but I want to read verses 1 through 16. If you have it, say amen. For, and I'm going to read out of the NIV, the kingdom from heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. After agreeing to pay the workers 1 denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing in the marketplace without work. He told them, "You go into the vineyard too, and I will pay you whatever is right." So off they went. He went out again at noon and about 3 o'clock and did the same thing. About 5 o'clock, he went out and found some others standing around. He asked them, "Why are you standing here all day long without work?" They told him, "Because no one has hired us." He told them, "You go into the vineyard as well." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard told his manager, "Call the workers and give them their wages. Beginning with the last and ending with the first, those who were hired at 5 o'clock came, and each received a denarius. When the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each received the denarius as well. When they received it, they began to complain to the landowner. These last fellows worked only 1 hour, but you paid them the same as us. And we've been working all day, enduring the scorching heat." But he told one of them, "Friend, I am not treating you unfairly. You did agree with me for a denarius, didn't you? Take what is yours and go. I want to give this last man as much as I gave you. I am allowed to do what I want with my own money." Somebody say amen. "Am I not? Or are you envious because I'm generous? In the same way, the last will be first, and the first will be last, because many are called, but few are chosen." Brothers and sisters, in the King James Version of Matthew, in the 5th verse, it says, "Again he went out about the 11th hour, he went out." I ask that you would pray with me on this title and thought: the 11th hour crowd. The 11th hour crowd. Let us pray. Father, it is in the name of Jesus that we have come and gathered this morning in this holy place, that you would speak like never before, that you would open our ears that we may hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And then, Father God, I ask always that you would hide me behind your cross, that every word that proceeds out of my mouth, Father, let it be of you and none of my own. And then, God, when you finish speaking, I pray that somebody who doesn't know you in the pardon of their sins will come asking, "What must I do to be saved?" Have your way, God. In Jesus' name, amen. About the 11th hour. The 11th hour crowd. Brothers and sisters, in the year of 1928, there was a gentleman by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And he preached or he lectured And in his lecture, he said that in the church, there is a germ that is hindering the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me say it again. He says that in the Christian church, there is a germ. And the reason why he says a germ is because the germ is the gospel of Jesus. And the gospel, what the gospel will do, it will deconstruct how we live and how we do ministry. The gospel, if we hear what thus says the Lord, you and I can no longer be the same. Something has to and it must change. It's a germ in the name of Jesus. And he said that the germ, the gospel of the gospels is where we get parables. And it is in the parables that we know that God, Jesus, gives a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Brothers and sisters in the church, my God. In the church, the threat is not the devil. In the church, the threat is not the Supreme Court. In the church, the gospel is the threat. Because the gospel, when it is heard and received, it takes us away from evil, false, and fallacious thinking. The gospel. It is in God's word that when God speaks through the Holy Spirit, you and I are able to not only hear, but take God's word and allow it to be application to our lives. Here we are in a time in our lives where everything evil is going on under the sun. And you have to ask, where's the gospel? It's all right to come here this morning, but if you come here this morning and you don't take God's word and share it with somebody else, how will the gospel ever be heard? But more importantly, brothers and sisters, it's one thing to share the gospel, but you got to walk the gospel. Because oftentimes folk will listen to you quote scriptures, they'll listen talk to you about God, but they'll watch your life from Monday through Saturday. And if your life does not equate with what you're saying, then the truth of the matter is the gospel truly in you? In the name of Jesus. As a matter of fact, if we go back even a little bit in this very same, in chapter 19, we will find out that the reason why this passage comes about because it was about the rich man who came to Jesus. And the truth of the matter is that when the rich man came, Jesus wanted to take something from him in order to give him something. Come on, church. Because if you're going to follow Christ, you got to give some stuff up. Come on, somebody. And if you give some stuff up, God will give you something that will not only sustain you and keep you and save you, but he'll give you peace that passes all understanding. But then it wasn't enough because God, Jesus, had told them, he says to them again, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And the Bible says that even Peter says that if he can't be saved, then who can be saved? And here's the problem that Peter and the disciples had. They was under the premonition or under the thought that if you're wealthy, that you got favor of God. Come on, somebody. I'd rather be held wealthy with the word of God than all of the riches in the world. Come on, somebody. But then Peter wasn't done. Because then Peter, from 27 through 30, now he starts talking about rewards. Come on, somebody. I'm talking to somebody this morning. Because Peter says, Jesus, after following you and doing what you said, what is in this for me? Come on, somebody. And the truth of the matter is, don't be hard on Peter this morning, because we got a whole lot of folk who want to serve God because they're looking for something from God. Come on, somebody, in the name of Jesus. I can hear Peter saying, Lord, I preached every Sunday, even throughout the week, and it seems like some people get it and some people don't. But he says, what is in this for me? Then I can hear Peter saying, I sing in the choir. And no matter how much I sing, it just seems not to vibrate with the people, no matter how strong, no matter how much the Holy Ghost uses me. Peter says, what is in this for me? Peter, I could hear him saying, as an usher, I stand at the door. I greet people with a smile. And sometimes they look at me so harsh, it can almost cut me in half. A bunch of bad attitudes. Come on, somebody. And Peter says, Lord, what is in this for me? Come on, somebody. Peter is just like you and I as congregants. We come into God's house. And we think that everything should be well because we are on sacred ground. But how many of you know if you ain't careful, the devil will beat you into the sanctuary? You'll sit down at the end of the seat and look to your left and look to your right. And the next thing you know, somebody done cut their eyes at you. And God forbid if you come in and you sitting in somebody else's seat. They're polite when they say to you, that is my seat. But depending on how quick you move, they'll tell you, that's my seat. But Peter says, for all that I have given up and all that I do for you, God, what is in this thing for me? And here's the reason why we come to this text. Because the Bible says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for the vineyard. Brothers and sisters, if you are of Christ, you ought to be in the vineyard. Because in the vineyard, the ground needs to be tilled. Come on, somebody. The ground needs to be watered. In the name of Jesus. And the ground needs to be taken care of just like it's paradise. Because it all belongs to God. In the vineyard. But the Bible says that the landowner first got up at 6 a.m. in the morning. And the Bible says that when he went out to those in the marketplace, and excuse me, I'm going to take the marketplace and use the corner. Come on, somebody. He got up at 6 a.m. and went to the corner to get some folk to work in the vineyard. And the Bible says in verse number 2, After agreeing to pay the workers 1 denarius a day, he sent them into the vineyard. Listen, church, if you read it carefully, what you will find out is that the people wanted to make a contract with God. Come on, somebody. How can you make a contract with God when he's the one who picked you up out of the muck and the mire? Come on, somebody. How can you proposition the God who made heaven and earth and the sea and everything in it? And the last time I checked, even though I set the clock this morning, he woke me up this morning. And after I got up and I figured out I was in my right mind with a good portion of strength, I didn't say, thank you, Archie. I said, thank you, Jesus. And then after I got dressed, and let me just be pointed fake, because I didn't go down to the kitchen and cook nothing. That's the reason why you don't leave home without her. Sister McBride went downstairs and knew that her brother husband needed a little something to eat. But the truth of the matter is, it was God who put it in the refrigerator. Come on, somebody. In the name of Jesus. But the Bible says not only did he go at 6 a.m., he went at 9 a.m. and even at 12 noontime and then at 3 p.m. And when he went at 9 and 12 and 3, the Bible doesn't say those folk had needed a contract. What they said is, whatever you give me is good enough. Because how many of you know when God bless you, you're blessed? Come on, somebody. How many of you know that when God blesses you, he gives you more than what you ask for? Somebody told me he'll go before you and straighten out crooked places and smooth over some rough places. His name is Jesus. But let me tell you about the 11th hour crowd at 5 p.m. Oh, Holy Ghost, thank you. Thank you. The Bible says he'll bring it back to your remembrance in the name of Jesus. The 11th hour crowd. Now, many of you that I look out at this morning, you may think that you're the 6 a.m. crowd, the 9 a.m., the 12 noon, or even the 3 p.m. But I stopped by a little while to tell each and every one of you, you also of the 11th hour crowd. On somebody. The 11th hour. And the Bible says at the 11th hour, at 5 p.m., listen to me carefully, church, that God went back out and got some more laborers to go in the vineyard. The question has to be, why would he go at 5 o'clock when the day was over at 6 p.m.? Come on, somebody. Only 1 hour. The Bible says that the servant went to the people and asked them, what have you been doing all day long? Come on, somebody. And they said to him, nobody would hire us. Remember, you were of the 11th hour crowd. I'm getting there. The reason why that they were there at the 5th hour is because the 11th hour crowd were the outcasts. Come on, somebody. The 11th hour crowd was the ones that everybody looked over because they didn't look qualified or even employed. Come on, somebody. And the truth be told, if we could have church just for a moment, how many of you can stand and say that you've been looked over before? Come on, somebody. Not only you, I've been looked over. But guess what? I got a God in heaven. See, I serve a God who doesn't appraise his people like the world does. Come on, somebody. How do I know, preacher? Come here, David. Come here, David. The Bible tells us when Samuel went to Jesse's house. And the Bible says that Jesse paraded all of his sons before Samuel. Come on, somebody. But Samuel said, they don't qualify. Samuel says to Jesse, there must be somebody else. Come on, somebody. And the Bible says that Samuel said to him, send for him. The Bible says that when David, he says, is there another? And Jesse says, I got one that's out tending the sheep. Come on, working in the vineyard. See, God can't use you unless you want to work. Come on, somebody. There's a whole lot of folk that say, I love God and he loves me, but they don't work. And let me be point of fact, brothers and sisters. Let me be clear. Many of you, if you didn't and you do now, many of you got an 8-to-5 job. Come on, somebody. But I stopped by to let somebody know serving God is a full-time job. Whatever other job you got, it's your part-time job. In the name of Jesus. I don't serve him when I get off at 5 o'clock. I serve him when I get up in the morning. I serve him when I go on the job because I let my light so shine that men and women may see my good works and the Lord would be glorified in heaven. The 11th hour crowd in the name of Jesus. So Samuel says, Jesse, send for him and we're not going to do anything else until he come. The Bible says when David came in, come on somebody. Samuel said, that's the one. I heard somebody say that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Come on, somebody. See, I love when God appraises his people. Truth of the matter, brothers and sisters, folk gonna talk about you if you work in the vineyard. Matter of fact, they'll tell you why you're doing so much work. Why are you spending so much energy? Because working for God will pay off after a while. As a matter of fact, not only after a while, I find out it'll pay off right now in the name of Jesus. Anybody been blessed beyond measure? Anybody called on him in the midnight hour and he showed up? Come on, somebody. I was sick, but he made me well. Come on, somebody. Hey, when I was in lack, he opened up the heavens in the name of Jesus. They call him Jesus. The 11th hour. God, when man gives up on you, God will take you up. Come on, somebody. I'm so glad in the name of Jesus that the world can call me everything but a child of God. But when I stand circumspectly before the Lord, not only does he call me his son, he even had the nerve to call me his friend. Come on, somebody, in the name of Jesus. If you want a right appraisal, go to God. And you need to understand, church, if you work in the vineyard, let me say it again. If you work in the vineyard, you're going to be talked about. Folk going to smile in your face and stick you in the back. Tell you something, church. September will be 5 years of pastoring. Hallelujah. But you know what I found out? Working in the vineyard, people don't like you no more. They'll smile in your face. And they won't even wait till you turn around. if you look real good, they already got the blade out. Come on, somebody. But the devil is a liar. If you know where I came from. But more importantly, if you know where I'm going. I'm going to a place called heaven. Come on, somebody. Where every day will be Sunday and Sabbath will have no end. In the name of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, if you look around the world on the news and in the newspaper, it's time to get in the vineyard. God is coming back for workers. Enough for all of this talking about I'm this and I'm that. The truth of the matter, how much work are you doing for the Lord? In the name of Jesus. Don't worry about your reward. Don't worry about working for the Lord and worrying about when your reward is coming. Matter of fact, if you live long enough, come on somebody. There's a crown of righteousness waiting for you and I. And just the other day at a funeral, I said to the family, thank God for mother, but guess what? She can't get her crown until you and I get there. Come on, somebody. The great reward. Then verse 16 says, in the same way, the last will be first, and the first will be last. Because many are called, but few are chosen. I remember in the story of the Cushite and Amaz. The Bible says that Absalom, when he turned against his father, come on somebody. David sent his army to fight against the Israelites. And the Bible says when God gave David favor and they won the battle, that Cushite was going to run and share the news with David. Come on, somebody. But the Bible says Amaz came and says, let me go also. Come on, somebody. Listen, church. Cushite, the Ethiopian, left first. Come on, somebody. But the Bible says Amaz took the plane. Come on, somebody. And as he took the plane, the Bible says even though the Cushite man left first, Amaz got there in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody. As a matter of fact, if you go to the New Testament in the Gospels, when the Bible says on the morning of Jesus' resurrection, John and Peter went to the tomb. Come on, somebody. The Bible says John was quicker at foot. Come on. He said he got to the tomb first, but he was too scared to go in. Come on, somebody. But the Bible says when Peter came, Peter went in first. Come on, somebody. In the name of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, the irony of this story is this. It's not about justice. It's about God's graciousness. And the truth of the matter, if it wasn't for God's grace, come on somebody, we all would have been destroyed. We all would have been locked up somewhere. Come on, and out of our right mind, but grace. I know I thank God for grace because, brother, Mr. Billy, I've done some things in my life that I should have been locked up and the keys thrown away. But God had grace in the name of Jesus. Grace. And let me just throw this in because you can't have grace without mercy. Come on, somebody. We didn't get what we really deserve because of grace. In the name of Jesus. You remember the thief on the cross. What did he say to Jesus? Let me paraphrase. Take me with you. And Jesus says, when I enter my kingdom, you will be right there with me. Listen, church. He was on the cross, ready to be crucified. But in the nick of time, somebody say, nick of time. He recognized who the Savior was. Repented. Got right with God. And from the cross to heaven. Come on, somebody. In the name of Jesus. Many of us have known God for a long time, but don't worry about it, church. It ain't who knew him first, it's who knew him. And the Bible says the last will be first. Come on, somebody. In the name of Jesus. But I stopped by to tell somebody, I don't care if I'm first or second. I just won't get in. Come on, somebody. I just want to sit around the throne and praise God all day long. I want to thank him for all of his graciousness, his mercy, his blessings, for keeping me when I couldn't keep myself, for making a way out of no way, for being my bridge over troubled water. Ain't he all right? Come on, church. Ain't he all right? He's all right, church. In the name of Jesus. I'm taking my seat. But how many of us can honestly say now that I wasn't in the 6 a.m. crowd, the 9 a.m., or the 12 noon, or the 3 p.m.? Great God from Zion. I'm from the 11th hour crowd. Come on, somebody. And brothers and sisters, if you believe it, come on, somebody stand on your feet and give God some praise, because he's good, in the name of Jesus. The 11th hour crowd. The 11th hour crowd. Let everybody stand. If there is one. And if you're not of the 11th hour crowd, you can come right now. Come to Jesus. Is there one? Is there one? Don't leave here saying, I'll do it next week. Next week it may not be promised. Come now. In the name of Jesus. Is there one? Is there one?
Oh, my sister.
Is there somebody else that's already saved, but you don't have a church home?
He will give you brand new life.
I can testify before you right now. If you come and join Shiloh right here in Trenton, you have joined a good church. Is there one? There may be somebody here today that was already a member, but you left for whatever reason, and God says, come. Baptism, Christian experience, restoration. Is there one? Is there one? Is there one?
We offer Christ to you, oh my brother.
Let the church say, amen.